Good morning. This is Perspectives. I'm Celeste Baragni. Today, my guest is Rachel Main, the Development Director for Safe Passage. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm happy to talk to you. Tell us about the history of Safe Passage.
Safe Passage, or Camino Seguro, which is based in Guatemala in Zone 3 and 7 of the Guatemala City area, and it's adjacent to the largest landfill in Central America. And 25 years ago, a woman by the name of Hanley Denning, who's from Maine, was in Guatemala learning Spanish. And kind of at the end of her two-year stint in Guatemala, she was brought to the landfill area with a friend of hers and saw it and really was struck by the complex problems that she saw there, and especially seeing children working in the garbage dump and, you know, picking for items that they could help their families in recycling. She was struck to take action, but really knew that what she was seeing was far bigger than what she could do alone, and so really galvanized volunteers from around the world and Guatemalan teachers, social workers, community members, family members there to really start what at that time was Safe Passage and really a triage response to getting kids in school. And it's evolved over the last 25 years into something that's really complex and beautiful.
And can you tell us about the mission?
We're built around providing pathways to opportunities for the youth living in this area, to provide different opportunities through skill building and creating these pathways towards defining their future through education.
And do families pay for school?
From the beginning, it had a model in which families received support at the end of the month based on children's attendance and how they were doing in school. And through evaluation, assessment, really understanding kind of what was working best, the model shifted to where students or the families now are paying a modest amount, usually around $2 a month, to enroll their students in this school. And we found that it adds to the engagement, kind of a little bit more of skin in the game to ensure that their kids are enrolled and attending regularly and that they're also really engaged in that educational model. While it's a small amount, it really does kind of add more buy-in for the families.
Education can just change the cycle of poverty for a family. I think that the proof that this is working is that you have 22 students enrolled in university programs right now.
Yes, which is huge. And having worked with the organization in the first 10 years, at that time was really around hoping to get kids just through middle school or through high school. And in Guatemala, where the national rate of graduation from middle school is just 40%. And so now the goalposts have shifted drastically, where having now 22 students that are enrolled in university programs like law and psychology, architecture. We had our first graduate from medical school this last year who I knew when she was 8 years old, and her long-term vision is to be able to provide reproductive health and women's health to rural areas. The model that we're seeing now that we have, it's proving that it is breaking the cycles of poverty, and really in just one generation that we've seen that massive shift.
And how are people in the community responding to these children being educated?
I think there's a lot of pride. I think that the resources and the community support around it, I think from the beginning, Safe Passage always worked in community with and through the families and kind of significant members of the community that had any kind of leadership role to really help in building the trust and being responsive to the needs of the community as it evolved over time. And so there's been the ups and downs of any organization that happens, but I think that deep trust and love within Safe Passage community and the folks that live in that area, seeing that it's working and that it's building together, they're part of that process and an important part of that process. That I think what we're seeing now actually is we have more and more families that are trying to enroll their children into the organization, and we don't always have those spots, right? It's kind of the way in measuring at some level the success in which people see the value. They see that their kids are able to truly get an education and are getting employment and getting really important opportunities. And they're becoming the next leaders, really, in Guatemala. And when you ask any student what they want to be, oftentimes it's, you know, sharing what that goal is, but then quickly adding, I want to be this because I want to be able to help my community and help Guatemala. So there's really this deep level of giving back and building for more people to be able to benefit, and not just those that are within the organization.
Rachel, you mentioned how complicated the issues are there. And one of the things I find so wonderful about Safe Passage is that you're approaching this as holistic development. So it's mm-hmm. not just education. You're transforming them through a lot of different services. Can you talk to us about those?
Absolutely. You know, I think it's through the lens of education of being able to address some of these large issues. And, you know, this is one of the harshest areas in Guatemala City. It's hyper-urban. There's pollution. There's a lot of violence. And being able to address those issues through the different programs that support education around health and wellness and mindfulness, and the kids are meditating every morning, and the teachers as well, through nutrition and receiving 4 different meals a day, which in Guatemala, malnutrition is one of the highest in the world. And within our organization, we just have 1 child at this point that malnutrition issues, and being able to change the course of those really big issues through these different wraparound services allows the students to be more ready for learning and to go home and share that information, share some of those pieces that the family can benefit from too, you know, around health and food, and parents being able to connect in through with social workers and psychologists and the professionals that are able to address some of the trauma that families have been exposed to as well and are dealing with, that without addressing those issues, it's nearly impossible to really be ready for learning or being able to attend and assist in the way that's necessary.
Those children, the families, are exposed to pollution from the landfill, violence, mm-hmm. there's symptoms of systemic neglect and discrimination. And so that's why it's so important. The approach that you're taking is trauma-informed, and good job, because, wow, what a huge undertaking.
Yeah, and I mean, I think having been with the organization for kind of this longitudinal stretch from the earliest days to now, I find it magical. It may sound cheesy, but to be able to really see how the shift has taken place over time. And the kids, you know, they would come in and they would be covered with lice or different exposure to being in the landfill and in homes that had dirt floors or mud or, you know, getting sores, to acting out in ways of, you know, you ask the child what their name is and they hit you, or you ask them how they feel and they hit you. And to now really seeing where the kids are coming completely ready to learn. They're helping each other. They're identifying how they feel early in the morning in their group sessions and finding ways to make sure that their classmate can feel better or more included if they're having a hard day. And to see that level of empathy and compassion and lifting each other up is really astonishing. I mean, it's hard to see in any of the best schools, you know, here in the U.S. where I have children as well. There's a true value of love and caring for one another and respect and belonging that's just really palpable throughout the curriculum, throughout the whole operation of how Safe Passage works.
It's amazing how much healthier they are all the way around. As far as education and self-esteem, I mean, this must be huge for them. You're creating such a culture of giving back, and I can mm-hmm. feel like their appreciation, just lifting each other up, and you're creating leaders. I think it's so wonderful what you're doing for that entire community. What are the goals for the year for Safe Passage?
We just completed our 25th anniversary, which is huge. And, you know, I think we're going into what this next chapter looks like for Safe Passage. And as you had shared earlier, now 22 students are enrolled in university programs. The students are creating the way. They're setting bigger dreams and bigger goals. And in a way, Safe Passage is catching up to that now, of looking at how we're working through academic partnerships in Guatemala, looking at how we're developing our oportunidades and Proximo Paso programs, which really are working with the middle schoolers and high schoolers on their pathways, whether it's through higher learning in university or through vocational training programs, internships, apprenticeships, and really building those partnerships throughout Guatemala so that they have those opportunities to really take on that next path. And for Safe Passage, you know, it's no longer just graduating them through high school and congratulating them and seeing them off on their way. say, it's a really fragile, hard time of being kind of the pioneers and the first into these different job sectors and through university and really needing the support base to succeed in that way too. And so we're developing, I think, on that end, more around how we can provide that advanced level of support and mentorship for the students that are older, and then also at the younger levels from early childhood, which we're really the feeder into our educational model, where we could potentially expand a little bit more there and be able to bring in more students at that age group. And all around with our expeditionary learning model, we've really honed in on the educational model that is working and exposure to different really applicable skills. And there's a lot of environmentalism within there and connecting to nature. And I think that's the part that we're also expanding upon in the next year of how to bring students out more. We're building a partnership with a regenerative farm in Guatemala, really going back to kind of some of the principal ways of farming and connecting with land and recycling and, you know, all of the pieces that actually are really relate back to where the students live, but that they have been very disconnected from because of kind of the isolation of that area and the discrimination of growing up in the landfill area. So working a bit more in those themes, which I find extremely exciting, and, you know, just getting to see the students do their own expedition projects, just thriving, you know, when they're talking about the history of how to make a tortilla and understanding the Maya connection and also the issues around labor and, you know, gender and women not having access to education. And so going into making a tortilla as kind of the unique opportunity for them and kind of understanding all of the complex pieces around that. And that's kind of how every expedition learning model goes. And so there's a lot of just real excitement coming from the students and creativity as they're seeking ideas to improve upon their communities as well.
Okay, Rachel, how can we help support you?
The big question, right? I think, you know, we're now an organization that we have almost a $3 million budget annually to support nearly 600 youth plus their families. And as we're evolving and developing into this university age group as well, and some of the programs there, definitely financial support is a great way to help us, you know, as an international organization that relies completely on individual donations and different corporate partnerships and grants. And monthly support allows us to plan and be able to put really our focus in on the students and the programs versus figuring out cash flow. So I would say in that way, we also have the opportunity for individuals and different groups from employees or faith-based academic groups that want to come down for a support team and come for a week, and they can work with Safe Passage for usually around 2 days or so of doing a special project that we'll identify. And then there's opportunities, and with a third party that we work with, to do some adventure travel and see other organizations within Guatemala to really deepen the understanding to the issues that we're addressing and connecting to Guatemala, which is a really beautiful country.
And how would they make a donation and learn more about the support team opportunities?
All of that information is updated on our website, so www.safepassage.org. Online donations can be made there easily. And then also, if there's other interest for supporting particular programs or some of the opportunities that we're building, I'd be happy to speak with people, and they can reach out to my email, which is rachel@safepassage.org.
Rachel, thank you so much for being with us this morning and telling us about Safe Passage.
Thank you for this opportunity. It really has built over the years from the incredible support that's reached globally of individuals and different groups that have really cared about the youth in Guatemala. And so we thank you for having us.
We've been speaking with Rachel Main, Development Director of Safe Passage. I'm Celeste Baragni. This has been Perspectives.